I'll say, He is risen, and you can respond, He is truly risen. He is risen. So happy fifth Sunday of Easter. As many of you know, I'm from Door County. There's not a week really that goes by or rarely goes by during the course of the year that I don't make a visit up there. Two siblings live up in Sturgeon Bay, Little Sturgeon, so it's a bit of a haven for me, especially since my parents' passing. So my mom and my dad passed within 9 months of one another back in 2017. And so in some ways, I've become closer to my siblings. And that has been a great blessing in the midst of a great sorrow for us as a family. One of the things that often will happen is either with my brother or sisters, we'll work on a project. Now, up in Door County, there's really some beautiful landscape. I know odd facts about Door County. Like there's 274 miles of shoreline in the county, more than any other county in the continental United States. So that's interesting. Or the fact that there are 5 state parks in the county. So there are more state parks in our county more than any other county in the United States. And one of the beautiful parts is the combination of different type of vegetation in the county. One is cedar trees and then hemlock trees and birch trees. And when you sort of see them all together, it's very unique and it's very beautiful. My sister and I are planting cedar trees, and she is the one with the green thumb. However, I am not. I was burning a brush pile, and I almost started the property on fire. So in the midst of cultivation, there I was, the bringer of destruction. And I think these two themes in the gospel readings and our first readings, first and second reading, are saturated with the juxtaposition between destruction and cultivation. Destruction and cultivation. Now, with these cedar trees, my next question for my sister is, how do you keep the deer away from eating them when they're sprouting up or as the tree's growing and very small? Or how much water do you need to water them, or if at all? What type of cedar tree do you get? They have beautiful shade and time. And they can grow, as I understand, as I'm learning, in very rocky areas. So it's very well suited. Or how far do you plant the trees apart from one another? All these questions of cultivating a particular tree. Cultivating things in our own life takes a great amount of detail and care as well. Unfortunately, the force of destruction is very often in our life a pattern. And this pattern in our life of destruction can happen through the severing of our relationships with one another or the severing of our relationship with our Heavenly Father in heaven. And so very easily we can sort of fall out of communion. We hear in this beautiful analogy in the gospel reading, I am the vine, you are the branches. So there's not just a connectedness with Jesus through the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Father, but in this we remain and abide and stay with Him. And it takes time. Cultivation takes a very long time. However, destruction simultaneously can happen very quickly and very rapidly. In a movie on Mother Teresa, there was a scene in which they were tearing down a convent or an orphanage because they didn't have the right permits. And so the city official was tearing it down, and Mother Teresa would say, well, it's so easy to destroy, yet so difficult to build back up. I think that same vein within our own lives. It's so easy for things to deteriorate, to break down. In science, we call it entropy, this ability for things to fall apart very rapidly. And then we're just sort of sitting there with all the pieces, and we don't know what to do and where to turn. And sometimes we lose hope, and we begin to believe that there's no way out of this, that we've created a problem for ourselves. And worse yet, we begin to condemn ourselves. That's why we hear from John in the second reading that beautiful line, if your hearts do not condemn you, if your hearts do not condemn you. Why does he say this? Because the inclination for us in our own lives is to allow shame and guilt to overtake us. And we begin to condemn ourselves. We become our own worst enemies. We beat ourselves up for what it is that we have done wrong. The ramifications of this shame and guilt begin to deteriorate us, to destroy our interiority, and it can break our relationships and sever us with others. Yet then we hear St. John say this, but if you have confidence in God and keep his commandments, to have confidence in God's love, and what's the commandment? To believe in the love that God has for me. That in the midst of the trail of destruction that I have been a part of because of my sin in life, it doesn't prohibit God cultivating something within me. That's why the Paschal Mystery is such a beautiful teaching of the church, the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, verse 24, truly, truly, I tell you, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Or we hear in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I've not just come to give you life, but to give it to you abundantly. The many ways in which this force of destruction plays out in our life is found in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Because who is the destroyer but St. Paul? Saul, who is going door to door, ripping Christians away from their family members, persecuting them and killing them. St. Paul himself, who was even at the martyrdom of St. Stephen. And here he was destroying the life of cultivation of the early church. It was a diabolical force working against the confidence and the belief in the love of God that he has for us. And that's where violence comes from. Violence comes from a disbelief in the fact that I am a beloved son or daughter of the Father. But then St. Paul even comes to the disciples in this early part of the narrative after the resurrection for Christianity, and they're afraid of him. They don't even welcome him back, but then Barnabas takes him under his wing. Sometime for our faith to be cultivated in our life, we need a mentor. We need someone to take us under their wing to be able to come to a deeper faith and acknowledgement of the power of God's love in our life. But to do so, we have to humbly acquiesce ourselves to that one. And St. Paul, as the super apostle, does this. And before you know it, what happens? St. Paul becomes the one who goes to Tarsus, and he begins to debate with the Hellenists. St. Paul, the one who is animated by the gift of God's love in such a way that he cultivates faith in a historical way that changes the rest of human civilization. We have to ask God, perhaps in our life, if we're succumbing to the temptation of the destruction that we have made in our life as superseding the cultivation of the love of the Father. And no better time to be able to recognize this than right now. Because we are weeks away from the gift of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles at Pentecost. It is at Pentecost that we are given the Spirit of God to be able to secure our communion with him so that we can remain a branch on the vine. And yes, are there times in which we need to be pruned and plucked? Yes. But from that grafting comes a beautiful new sprout, a new beginning in our life. And we see the work of God in a way that we hadn't seen before. So I have to learn from my sister how to cultivate all the tiny nuances and details of that cedar tree and not to start a fire ever again. Stay away from that. But to learn that if we follow the love and the path of God's life in our own lives, then God himself will share with us the victory of his cross and resurrection. I'll say he is risen, and you can respond, he is truly risen. He has risen.